now. So money advice from Dave at the moment. Any questions you've got, 03453031566 to call. Always good to touch on pensions, isn't it, really? What's happening in the world of pensions at the moment? That's interesting.
Well, there's good news insofar as we've talked over the years about having a pension in a drawer, a dusty old drawer somewhere that you don't know much about it and you don't like it and you're scared of it. And there's now a pensions dashboard been announced, which will be live or partially live from March of next year, which will show all of everyone's pensions in one place. So, you know, if you're 50 years old or more, you're likely to have 2, 3, 4, 5 pensions from employment and elsewhere dotted around, including your state pension. Now there will be one place to go and see, here's all the money I have, here's what it might give me in retirement. And so that kind of uneasy grey area feeling where you don't know what it's all about and you don't know how to start should all go away. And it should really help people to know if they're on track, to have enough money in retirement, and if not, to feel that they should take action.
Is that an automatic thing, then, that will just be there for you to access?
Yeah, it's a government initiative, and they're talking to all the pension providers. In March 2017, about half of them will be on there.
Right.
And then by 2019, it'll all be on there. And the government's compelling the pension firms to put the information on there. And we've talked in the past about zombie or orphaned pensions where, you know, it's in a dusty old drawer, the pension fund's charging a load of money, it's not doing very well in performance. This will encourage... Well, force the pension providers to do better on charges and do better on performance, because if it's not doing well and you know where your pension is, you'll take it away.
And I should imagine you see quite a few people sometimes who've literally lost pensions. They're just sort of don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be hard to keep track.
They have a sort of funny feeling that back in the 70s I worked somewhere and I think there was a pension involved with my job. You get lots of that.
Yeah.
And you can go to the pension tracing service, which is pretty good at finding these things. And because pensions have to be registered, they'll never be totally lost. So it's worth putting some effort in. Or, you know, or go and see an advisor who will do the work for you and to try and find them. So it's never lost, but it often feels like it is lost.
Question from Don in Bridgewater. Dave, everyone retiring from April this year will get £155 per week straight pension, but people retiring prior to April this year will only get £119 per week. Is there any way you can appeal against this other than going through pension credits?
The simple answer about appealing is if the calculation is correct, then no, it is what it is. And, you know, when the government announced the flat rate of 155 per week pension, it all sounded lovely, but very few people really are getting that right now. And you can see if someone's not contributed many years into the National Insurance contributions, then you can see why they arguably shouldn't get a full pension. But there are lots of people, I think, who have felt misinformed or have only realised at the last minute that they're not going to get the full pension. You can top up, so there are additional contributions you can make through Class 2 or Class 3 National Insurance top-ups. And if that's of interest to you, and I would suggest it's quite a good deal, actually, if you put your money with me in an investment, it's very unlikely that I would be able to match the returns that topping up your National Insurance would do. And just go on to gov.uk and look at pension top-ups, and they'll guide you through whether it's appropriate for you. But no, there's no appeals process to say, you know, in hindsight, we feel sorry for you. The calculation is what it is.
There are loads of places to go, but some very obvious, well-known places to go to get advice now, independent advice, free advice, isn't there?
Yes.
On pensions, this is.
Yes, on pensions. Well, there's PensionWise, which is the government state-sponsored site. The Citizens Advice Bureau also will offer some help. There's been mooted that there'll be a £500 like an allowance that you can release from your pension to pay for advice as well. So there was a real effort to try and help people. It is confusing, the pensions world, but it's not something which, because of that, you should avoid, because they are so, when they work, they're so good, it's not worth burying your head in the sand. So do seek advice. We've talked before, Ben, most independent financial advisors will offer at least a free half an hour to sit down and look at what your options are. Invest South West will offer as long as it takes. And, you know, I would hope that people would take the chance to go out there and find the solution to that kind of sense that they have pensions that aren't quite right.
Because just to go back to savings, we were talking a bit about whether or not you're a betting man. Very interesting question from Alan that's coming. Dave, do you count stocks and shares as gambling? I do it, but I see it as gambling, and I've been doing it for about 20 years. It's worked out well for me.
If I was forced to give you a simple answer, I would say yes. If you buy one share in one company, or at least, you know, a few shares in one company, that company might have good fundamentals, but something somewhere else in the world might affect the marketplace and halve the value of your investment. So it is, in that sense, it's gambling. The only way you can mitigate that is by spreading. So when we talk about stocks and shares, ISAs, for example, A, you're in hundreds of different stocks and shares, but you're also in property and you're also in government gilts and corporate bonds. It's not just stocks and shares. Mm. And then it's not gambling. It's managed risk. One share, yes, absolutely, a straightforward gamble.
Yeah, and I suppose that's part of it, isn't it? There's no guarantee you're going to make money in anything in that scenario, in any kind of savings front. If you want to, like you say, maximise it, you've got to take a bit of risk.
You have. For our clients who are cautious, we still recommend stocks and shares ISAs, but we have a very wide spread and much of it is not in the stock market.
Let's go to the phones. Graham's on the line in Willerton. Hi, Graham.
Hi.
And you got a question for Dave on ISAs, I think.
Yeah. The government changed the charging regarding management charges. So, to clean shares, where now you can go through an agency in a supermarket and get reduced charges. How do you do this?
That's a good question, Graham, and thanks for asking that. It's really across the board. You say clean, and you're absolutely right, and let's kind of compare that to the past, which we'll call unclean. There were lots of buried charges in some of these funds, which gave kickbacks to the financial advisor or to the fund manager, and as a client, you never really knew what you were being charged. Now, across the board, that is the case that funds are clean. So whether you go through a financial advisor like me, or you go to a money supermarket or a fund supermarket, all of those funds will now be clean funds. There'll be nothing hidden, no buried charges. So wherever you go, Graham, you'll find clean funds.
And does this apply to my old holdings, or do I have to do something to get clean?
Yeah.
Or have they been done automatically?
It is a process happening across the industry, but I do know that there are some funds which are still not clean, and it's worth talking to your provider about that, asking them that question. And they will be compelled to answer that question straight.
Right.
Good stuff, Graham. Thanks for your question.
Thank you. Bye.
Very nice. Graham and Willison. And just before we let you go, we do have one more question, which is coming in, I think, from Jack. We'll just mention, before that comes into my running order here so I can actually read it. oh, there it is. It's there. We'll talk about scams in a second because we must not forget that.
Yeah.
Jean says, just to back to pensions, can you top up a state pension at the very last minute? What's the final cut-off point? That's a great question, Jean.
Yes, you can. In fact, you can cut off the state pension after you've reached state retirement age. Oh. There's a special dispensation currently to allow people to catch up. And I haven't got the precise figures in my mind, but I can tell you, again, go on to gov.uk and put that question in there. I think it's up to about 2 years after you've retired or reached state retirement age, you can add to your national insurance contributions to top up. And it's for many people, it's worth doing.
Yeah, well worth doing.
Yeah.
And just quick sort of safety message on scams, what to be aware for. Emails are a big one, aren't they, really, at the moment?
The general principle, Ben, I would suggest, if anybody approaches you, in comes a cold approach, either by email or by phone or by letter or even at your front door, if what they suggest sounds attractive, well, that's fine, but hang up, delete the email, close the front door, and then make your own investigations, because in my experience, so many of the incoming sales patters are in some way corrupt. So if you know this product sounds good, say thank you, delete the email, hang up, use a different phone to phone the people that you know, do your own research. Never respond to a cold approach of any kind by any media.
Yeah, narrow the risk. That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Let you get to the cricket now.
Yes, thank you.
Have a great couple of days. We'll see you next month.
Thank you, Ben.
Top man, Dave Penny from Invest Southwest in Taunton, our independent financial advisor. And Dave will be back, of course, next month for another session. Okay, we've got